In the name of God, who is wind and fire and love, and in us all. Amen. So I just came back week before last from Barcelona, where I was seeing my Spanish side of the family. And I always come back from these trips with a new appreciation for language, its power to connect, and the complexity of it. Mostly an appreciation through not understanding things going on. There's so many times where in a conversation I thought I was tracking, and then I realized I had just missed a word that completely changed the meaning of the sentence, and I figured it out about six sentences down the road. Just realized how completely lost. And then I also had this moment of exhilaration toward the end of the week where I realized, oh, my mind is translating in real time, and I'm getting it. I just got that whole paragraph. Yay. It is such a central part of being human together. Language, how we communicate, how we make meaning, and how it can also be weaponized to separate us, to divide us. What happens when we don't understand one another? Right now especially, this is so poignant, when we are talking past each other or talking at each other in ways that are dividing and separating us more deeply. So it's wonderful and fascinating and curious and complex that the two stories talking to each other today are opposites or bookends of one another in Scripture to reflect on. In the first one, this is a story, an origin story from the first 11 chapters of Genesis. It's after the flood, the survivors have been told by God to go spread out, garden the earth, be fruitful, multiply, try it again. And of course, they do exactly the opposite. On that plain of Shinar, saying, let's clump together and let's build a tower, a stairway to heaven. And so they do, and they can. And God looks at it and says, oh no, not again. Because what they're doing, you know, those great ziggurats that you've seen in paintings, or some of them still stand, that's not built like a barn raising. It's not volunteer labor. That's conscription. That is the beginning of enslavement. Concentrating that energy to build up takes that. This is kind of the hoarding of things, the concentration of energy. And it's actually being a story being told by the Hebrews who are enslaved in Babylon. Scripture was written down about six centuries before Christ. So they were writing this ancient story while they're in Babylon, which is Babel. It's the same place. They're writing this firsthand experience of this is how it goes when the empire gets its way. That instead of distributing abundance, what we do is concentrate and hoard the wealth and privilege and get conscripts to achieve our goals of building that stairway to heaven, which is actually a hell for everybody who's not up on top. And so in this origin story, all God can do is a kind of enforce a diversity, saying, okay, spread out. Stop this. The Pentecost story is exactly the opposite. In so many ways, it's a mirror of the Babel story. Now, Pentecost is not a Christian festival. It's a Jewish festival, Shavuot. The name means 50th. It's 50 days after Passover. It's the beginning and the end of the harvest. Big festivals that brought people from all over the world, all over the Roman Empire, Jews, to Jerusalem to celebrate. So they brought their languages, their customs, and the city was packed with people every year where they spoke the languages of all the empire. And there's this moment of the Spirit when something happens to everyone, And it's not that they hear the same thing. It's that they hear this in their own language, where they are. Kind of significance of that is profound. It's very flat movement opposed to this. It's people where they are, and the people bearing this, there's this line of like, it's these Galileans telling us this. That is a real put down. It's like saying redneck. It's saying these people who couldn't possibly know another language, they don't even know their own. And here they are. What's going on? Babel is still being built today, over and over and over and again. The world has never been richer, and we are in some ways more spiritually impoverished than we have ever been. There's never been more knowledge, and yet we lack the wisdom of how to talk to one another, how to really communicate, how not to make the poorest and the weakest pay the most for the towers that we build. That is still so far out of reach. And Pentecost is still happening as well. The Spirit is and always will be moving all over the place, faster than ever, building bridges within our hearts and between and among our hearts, across lines of division. In fact, it may be that some of the wind and fire that is the greatest the world has ever seen is still ahead of us. One of my favorite Pentecostal quotes is by the scientist, paleontologist, and theologian, great theologian, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. He wrote this back in 1936. The day will come when, after harnessing space, the winds, the tides, and gravitation, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And on that day, for the second time in the history of the world, we shall have discovered fire. I don't think he was just being poetic. I think he was being prophetic. We are discovering love is less and less like romance and more like gravity. It is something that is the association between everything. It is when there is mass, when there is anything. It's woven into everything. It's what holds us together. And Jesus says this crazy thing in the gospel this morning. What do you make of it? He says, you will do greater works than I have done with the Spirit. What? Really? But I think what he's getting at is this second fire, the second discovery, that it's about how it spreads, that as it spreads, as it catches and takes root and becomes part of our lives, that mass becomes irresistible gravity. We were talking at our retreat on the river yesterday about our experience of these last couple months of cataclysm and catastrophe and tragedy, how we're walking with that in the world. And what we noticed is that the stories that kept coming up over and over again were these little vignettes of experiences of kindness, either things we had done or things done to us. And some of them were just almost microscopic, and it was kind of homeopathic. The smaller they were, the bigger effect they had. The more gratuitous they were, the more powerful their impact on us and the people around us. That's it right there. That's how it works. It is so different than evil, which is big and blunt and loud and up, and It's forced. It's this disturbance of the steady state of love and joy and peace. Those are small, low, and slow, and powerful, but in a different way. All of us today, everyone wearing red, that includes your lanyard, everyone wearing red here today has chosen to be a part of this community of the Spirit. We have said we are dedicated to the evolution and revolution in this world that turns away from the babble of the empire and dedicates ourselves relentlessly to choosing this way of love. So as you walk through this week, once again, it's really that we just do this every week. It's the same every week, but it's new every week. Notice the ways that you already speak this language. We already have the Spirit. It is a gift given. It gets activated every time we just turn toward it and turn toward one another. And literally reach across the aisle in the grocery store, in church, across the political aisle, across the airplane aisle, whatever it is. Those moments and gestures of connection is all that's needed. It's like electricity. Connect the circuits and the power is there. Notice how you can be peace. You don't have to make it. Just allow it, and it's there. Jesus says he planted it in us, that this gift is already given. All we have to do is get close enough to one another in relationship, and then just be courageously kind. Harness those energies of love. And we'll continue to discover that fire, the wind, Spirit that changes the world together. Amen.